welcome to Just Needs, a podcast where we talk about parenting children with disabilities. I'm your host, Christina Kozik. I, too, am a parent of a child with a disability, and I just want to say I'm so glad you're here. On this podcast, we talk about everything from receiving a new diagnosis to transitioning your older child out of school and beyond. This podcast is a project of Exceptional Lives, a nonprofit organization that supports families like yours. You can learn more about Exceptional Lives at our website, www.exceptionallives.org. My goal for this podcast has been to bring the sometimes confusing but always important information that families need to know to you, the listener, in a way that's easy to understand. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about taxes. I know, taxes are everyone's favorite subject, but we've all got to file them, and they can be particularly complicated for people with disabilities and their families. So grab a seat and listen along as I go over 5 tips you should know before filing taxes for people with disabilities. Also, one more thing before we dive in. While this information was reviewed by a tax professional, this episode is an overview and not intended as tax advice. People with disabilities and their families should consult a tax professional about their specific circumstances and questions. So let's get started. Tip number 1, make sure you understand if the person with a disability can or should be claimed as a dependent. This can be confusing because we usually think of dependents as just our children, but a person with disabilities can be claimed as a dependent if any of these things are true. They are not filing a tax return on their own, have lived with you for at least half the year, and are either your child, stepchild, foster child, or a descendant of these, or a permanently disabled adult who is a member of your household. Tip number 2, tax credits. Depending on your child's age and income and your personal income, you may be able to claim the following. The child tax credit. This is available for each qualifying child who will be under the age of 17 at the end of 2021. For tax year 2022, the credit is a total of $2,000 for each qualifying child. Next is the Child and Dependent Care Tax Credit. While this sounds similar to the previous credit, this credit is for expenses incurred so that parents can work or look for work. There are some factors that married people must meet to qualify. If you're unsure if you qualify for this tax credit, check with your tax professional. Now, this credit equals up to 50% of child care or dependent care cost. What this means is if you pay $1,000 a month in child care or dependent care expenses so that you can work, you can claim $500 a month or $6,000 total towards this credit. This credit is limited to $8,000 for the care of one person and $16,000 for 2 or more qualifying persons, though. Next, we have the Other Dependent Tax Credit. This is for dependents, other qualifying relatives, and even qualified dependents who are not related to the taxpayer and are age 17 and older, including parents and grandparents. For this credit, $500 may be available. Lastly, there's a Qualified Retirement Savings Contributions Credit. This credit is for contributions to ABLE accounts by designated beneficiaries. I'll talk more about ABLE accounts in a minute, but if you don't already know what this is, check out the links in the show notes for more information. Now here's your third hot tip. Think about medical deductions. Medical deductions can be considered for both people with disabilities and people that are claiming that person as a dependent. You can claim things like healthcare expenses that you pay for out of pocket, including deductibles and copays, special schooling, training, or therapy, travel expenses to and from medical and therapy appointments, education aids, diagnostic evaluations, home improvements and/or modifications like wheelchair ramps, shower bars, or widening doorways, and also expenses for special medically recommended diets and medically recommended conferences and seminars. You could also deduct genetic testing that's related to a medical condition, and also the removal of lead paint. And tip number 4, things to consider if you are a person with a disability filing taxes for yourself. There is something called an impairment-related work expense deduction. These are business expenses that are necessary for you to be able to work. If you have a physical or intellectual disability that impacts your ability to work or that limits major life activities like walking, speaking, or performing manual tasks, you can deduct expenses for the accommodations you need to pay for yourself. This can be things like one-handed keyboards, modifications to a van so you can drive yourself to work, or a home office setup if your disability means you need to work remotely. Next is the Elderly and Disabled Tax Credit. If you are at least 65 or younger but retired on permanent and total disability and received taxable disability income in 2021, you are eligible for this credit. If you are eligible for this credit, the amount you may receive can range from $3,750 to $7,500, depending on your circumstances. Tip number 5, consider setting up a special tax-advantaged account that you can use to pay for expenses related to having a disability or caring for a family member with a disability. Let's look at some of those individually. First is IRC Section 529 plans. Most people know these as college savings plans, but these can be expanded for use for certain K-12 tuition and expenses, as well as qualified apprenticeships in the trades. If you are paying out of pocket for a school for children with dyslexia, or if your child needs vocational training for a job, you can use these plans to pay for your expenses. Next is ABLE accounts. The Achieving a Better Life Experience, or ABLE Act of 2014, allows states to create tax advantage savings programs for eligible people with disabilities. Contributions to ABLE accounts can help designated beneficiaries save for qualified disability expenses. Distributions are tax-free if used for this purpose. Last are special needs trusts, sometimes referred to as SNTs, and health savings accounts, commonly known as HSAs. These are important financial and tax planning tools that can significantly contribute to a person's quality of life. It is important to understand the opportunities that each of these provides. If you work with an accountant, financial advisor, or a lawyer, they're definitely your best bet. I know I just gave you a lot of information and you may have some in-depth questions. I'm going to have lots of links in the show notes like Tax Help for People with Disabilities from benefits.org and Living and Working with Disabilities, Tax Benefits and Credits from the IRS. If you need help preparing your taxes, IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, or VITA, has special sites that offer free tax preparation to those with low to moderate income. You can call 800-906-9887 for a VITA site near you. A link to the VITA locator tool will also be in the show notes. I also want to acknowledge two of the sources for the information I provided. The Special Needs Alliance, SNA, is a national nonprofit comprised of attorneys who assist people with disabilities, their families, and the professionals who serve them. And then the ARC. They provide educational resources, they build public awareness, and advocate for policies on behalf of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. This podcast was written by Julie McIsaac, PhD, Learning and Mental Health Consultant, reviewed and updated for 2022 by Ken M. Schulman of Day Piety LLP, and presented by me, Christina Kozik, for Exceptional Lives. You can subscribe and follow the podcast at our website, www.exceptionallives.org/justneedspodcast. Our website also has blogs, guides, upcoming events, and a resource directory for Massachusetts and Louisiana. We'd love for you to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Exceptional Lives. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know by leaving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening.